So last week we talked about just laying the foundation. Start now, don't wait. Your life depends on it. And I really believe that. I believe everything we do, everything we accomplish in life starts from a thought, an idea, a plan, a belief system. All of these things are crucial, structuring our lives. It's about taking back control. Don't live life by chance and circumstance, but live it by choice and commitment. And that's one of my favorite statements. You can write that down. You can plaster it on your wall. And every time you shoot from the seat of your pants, go, whoops, there I go again. You know, and it doesn't mean that we can't make decisions, you know, on the fly, but we're not making decisions on where our life's going on the fly. We're not making decisions about what we're going to create in the next 6 months on the fly, right? We might be I'll be walking down the street or something like that, and I'll go somewhere and I go, you know, I should have talked to that person about Manitech because I had the opportunity, and I'll just turn around and on the fly I'll go back. So I make decisions on the. I change my directions on the fly many times, but it's not about major issues. It's about you know, the smaller things in life, things that can be important to me, but it's not like I'm not going to fly by the seat of my pants about what I'm going to create in my Manitech business in 2015. That's too important for me to just treat like it's unimportant. And if it's important to you, then these are the sessions you want to go through. This is the work you want to do. Because this work at this time of year is some of my favorite work. Lydia and I sat down yesterday for a couple hours and reviewed a bunch of things. We went through the annual review of my Manitech business, line item by line item. Man, we filled out a whole page. We had to write all on the back of the sheet as well. I mean, all of these were critical analysis for us to be able to run our business in a more effective and efficient way in 2015. And hopefully you guys have all taken the time and energy to do some of those exercises that we set forth in last week's outline. If you haven't done them, you're going to be behind today. And none of this really builds on it unless you do the foundation. So you need to start with the foundation work and build off of that. Last week we talked about getting started and how we start with, you know, looking at, I asked you to do a couple of things. One of the things I suggested you do is look out there and find what are your most important values, because we know that if you draw a chart and you put it at the top, if I'm going to come to creating my life, it all starts with what are my values, because your vision that you have is based on the values that you have, right? And your plan and everything else and your goals, all of that comes from value vision. You can't start if you start with just flying by the seat of your pants, you're going to get those kind of results. So you got to first really be clear on what are the values in your life. So the first exercise that we talked about last week was making a list of the 10 most important values in your life. Did anybody do that? Anyone want to share on the call? You can unmute and tell me your experience around that. Anyone? Star 6 if you'd like to talk. Quiet group again, Lydia. All right. I will talk a little bit then and let you guys think about it, or hopefully you'll do it on your own. I gave you a website. I think the website I gave you had like 418 different values on it or whatever. So you can go back there if you haven't done the work yet. Go back and do that and choose them. And what's important, of course, is in figuring out who you are, getting clarity on who you are, what makes you tick, what's going to drive you, what's going to, you know, create results in your life. And that's why you need to know what those core values are. And I went through a core value exercise. I think I've shared this with you in the past. In fact, probably last year's goal setting exercises. If you listen to some of those calls, you'll see the same kind of, you know, information that I gave, because this is core for every year. It's every year I want people to sit back and I want them to do their core value evaluation to make sure that they're consistent with their internal compass that they have. And as I told you, it was a gut-wrenching experience, because these aren't easy things to do. When you look at a list of 418 core values, how do you choose 10? I don't know. That's a good question, isn't it? But you can. That's what I know you can do, because I did it. Other people do it. There's a great exercise out there that I partook in that is used as part of a foundational self-development course, and everybody did it. It was gut-wrenching because I had to leave some values behind. I'm not really leaving them behind. They're still part of me, but they're not the most important ones. Follow me? It's about finding what really floats your boat, and sometimes we don't pick them out right. But the exercise that I went through became really clear because we had to, like, separate ourselves from the values. So the pain that we went through in separating ourselves really made it or allowed us to draw greater clarity around which ones were most important to us. Because the ones that you feel the most pain around are obviously, when you have to separate yourself, are obviously the ones that are most important to you. So the idea is that what we want to do is we want to go through the experience of determining what are those most important core values. For me and my research, and a lot of you know this about me already, is that my number one core value that I couldn't even breathe without was the word contribution. And you can see the tie-in. Love is a huge concept for me, but one of the ways I love to love the most is by contributing. That's a part of love to me. But contribution is so major to me that if I find myself, when I'm just like on this Monday call with you guys, there's nothing that makes me do this Monday call except what? My core value of contribution. I got this internal need that in my life that it's not a need, but it's when I feel my greatest fulfillment in life, it's when I'm pouring into other people. When I'm contributing to people, I get higher in a kite. That's why Lydia laughs. She says, you know, Mary Jo, you can be tired as all get out. You can be outside the mood frame. You can be wherever you are. We're driving to go give a presentation. The minute you step on stage, you are all lit up. And that's exactly what it's my whole psychology in my exhilaration in my life goes crazy when I'm in contribution. So it's really important for me. Contribution is critical because it gives me the meaning of my life. What am I here to do but to contribute? I'm here to serve and to contribute to other people. And trust is my second one because I believe without trust we don't have relationships. I think it's very difficult to have a relationship with people if there's no trust. So why would I want to be on this earth if I didn't have a relationship with people? Because we're here to relate. We're here to connecting, right? It's one of the seven habits, right? It's one of the seven minds, I should say mindsets. It's, you know, it's funny how everybody uses the seven number, but I guess it comes biblically, right? But it's one of the seven mindsets. It's about we're all connected. So to be connected, there has to be a level of trust. Otherwise, you don't get connected to people. So trust is important. And my third one was commitment, because commitment to me is all about getting something done. If people aren't committed, things don't happen. And if you don't get anything done, then why are we here? So it's about being committed. It's about putting a stake in the ground and being committed to create something. So that's just the insight into my struggles that I went through, just my top three. But each of us needs to do that. We need to be, because clarity is so critical. Clarity is so critical. So make sure you do your value analysis. And if you are unfamiliar with, you know, how do I separate myself? I do a little exercise where you just put all your values at one on each card and you drop them to the floor and spend 5 minutes just thinking about that experience. That whole concept of dropping them to the floor can help you feel the pain or whatever that is for you emotionally when you separate from a core value, which can help you then align them in an order that makes most sense for you. But again, go through the exercise, find the 10 most important to you. Don't take Mary Jo's, because that's not you. It's amazing how we can be sisters in Christ and brothers in Christ and love each other so much and just have so much admiration for each other. But when we do our core value analysis, we come up totally different from each other. Because what you're going to find out, that's why we can't use our love of the Lord or being Christ-like as one of our core values, because it encompasses what? Thousands of different values. Thousands of different values. But which ones are most important to you? That's what makes you so unique. It makes you who you are. So do that analysis. The other concept is writing your stream of consciousness, how I want life to be, and what kind of holds us back from doing that exercise? What is it? What is it that keeps you from putting a pen on a paper saying, how I want my life to be? Anyone have the answer to that? Well, there could be many answers, but I'll suggest to all of you that probably one major one is belief. Because people will say, well, why should I write that? That's all pie in the sky. I don't believe I could ever achieve it. I don't, you know. And you're already self-defeating before you get out of the box. So what's taught and trained you to be that way? Start evaluating that. If you have a walk with the Lord, you know that he tells us scripturally anything's possible through him. I believe anything's possible. And I've had many things in my life work out that are just resounding because I believe it's because my belief is there. When you believe that, you end up creating it. That's why Power of Belief and the Magic of Believing, all those great books out there are so awesome to read and understand, because belief has played such a huge role in every aspect of our life. And it's a precept of the Bible. But even if you're not a Christian, Power of Believing is huge in your life. It's about putting out in the universe this energy field that you know this can happen, and all of a sudden you create it. We all are creators. We all are capable of creating. It's just what we believe is what stops us. You know, last week we talked about your personal philosophy in life is the number one top thing that determines how your life works out. And so we look at what's your philosophy in life. If you don't believe life can be better, if you don't believe, you create that. You create that in your life. So it's time to create new things. And you go, well, I've tried it, Mary Jo, it didn't work. What do you mean you tried it? That's one of your problems, is you try. The word try is really a horrible word. Can you erase that from your vocabulary? I think, put that at the top of your list for 2015. I never use the word try in my vocabulary. I don't ever use it. I might mention it in a training about not to use it, but it's terrible languaging because it shows a total lack of commitment. Try. Here's another thing I tell people. If you want to try something, pull a chair out from a table and say, and try to sit down on it. You're either committed to doing it or you're not. So talk in language, powerful language, empowering language, language that moves you forward, and that's being committed to creating something. Don't try. Don't try to get the presidential director by the end of the year in 2015. Commit yourself to doing it. I'm committed to doing it. And watch the energy around you when you do that. Because you'll attract the things that will work to cause that to happen. So definitely do your stream of consciousness, how I want life to be, and let yourself freely think that anything's possible, and see what comes down on the paper. It's awesome. And some of you go, well, if I do that, Mary Jo, then I'll just get depressed because I haven't created it yet. And now, what's wrong with that language? That's you living in the past. Who cares? The one question I want to ask you to ask yourself today is, what can I do about my past? And the answer to that question is pretty simple. It's called nothing. The past exists for us to learn from. What did we learn? That's what the past contributes to today. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. So don't ever let the past control your future, because that's just in your head. That's something that you're buying into. It has zero truth in reality. The past does not control your future. You do. Today's a new day. You choose what you create starting this moment. So move forward. I always also ask you guys to draft a to-be list on leadership characteristics, because we all come up short. I know I do. Every year I go through this, and how funny it was. I went through it again this year, and I went back and looked at last year, and guess what? Some of the same words came out again. So what does that mean? That I didn't do the greatest job at achieving what I set out to do last year. So what does it mean I'm doing this year? They're going to be 1 and 2 on the top of my list instead of 4 and 5. So I make sure that they get extra special treatment. And one of those things for me is, and Lydia sometimes laughs because she says, you are one of the most active, getting things done person I know. But I still have this issue around the word discipline. It's about structure. It's about making sure all the structures exist in my life. And last year, discipline was one of my top 5. And guess what? It's again this year. And it might be that for Mary Jo, it's every single year for the rest of my life. But at least I'm acknowledging it, and I'm buying into it, and it becomes a part of my structure for this upcoming year. So we pick and choose those leadership characteristics that are most important to us. And one of mine I picked this year that I didn't have in the past was the word contemplative. Isn't that intriguing? And that word I picked out because I think sometimes I'm, because of my promoter quadrant, my inspire quadrant, which is my heaviest percentage, although I have a mixture of all, that quadrant causes me to be a little bit more reactive, reactionary, impulsive, right? We just love to, you know, when somebody comes up with an idea, and sometimes that's a good thing because people who have to think about something for 5 days before they do it, that sometimes those opportunities pass you by. So impulsive can be good. It can create good results, but out of control, it's not very structured. It's not going to create the results that you have in mind. So adding a little bit more structure, a little less impulsivity, a little more contemplative, which meaning thinker, spend a little more time, think before I speak or think before I act, put it, does this serve me along my path? Because, you know, once I get those core values down, which I have, I need everything in my life to align with those. And if they don't align, I don't do them. I stick with alignment. And that's really helped me a lot in terms of being focused in my life because focus is crucial. So anyway, so those are my top ones. Now once you get your top leadership characteristics, what's the next step? You know, you have to have a plan. You can't just say, okay, here's my leadership characteristics I'm going to work on this year. Okay, so how are you going to work on them? What's your plan to acquire or augment these characteristics in your life? You must have a plan. Failure plan is plan to fail. So we need to plan, how is that going to work out for me in my life? So what can I do to implement? And I'm going to give you a bunch of ideas here, and you can, obviously they're endless, but I'll just give you some. Like if discipline were your thing, what might you do? You might add, I'm going to have a calendar on my desk every day, and I'm going to work off that calendar every day. Lydia and I have a system, and we've incorporated that system, and it works sometimes, and it doesn't work other times. So, but I think it's more we don't work it right. I think it's a great system, but we just need to be what I talked to Lydia about this year was we're going to be dedicated to be totally disciplined about using it the right way. So that's one thing. So set up a habit of some materials that are going to help you. Other leadership characteristics you'll want to – here's another idea, affirmations. Draft some affirmations around your leadership characteristics, and those are affirmations you plaster on your wall in front of you. You read them every day, right, maybe once or twice, but they help walk you into that characteristic, right, so you can do that. And each day, at the end of every day, you can. Here's another idea for you. At the end of every day, you can look the characteristics and say, where did I show this? Where did this characteristic come up in my life? Where could have I showed it? Where did I leave it out? What could have it looked like differently? So you're doing a daily analysis of how that leadership characteristic is showing up or not showing up in your life on a daily basis. So that's a great thing to do, too. So just keep a journal on your characteristics that you're choosing. Another thing to do is accountability partner in your business. Get an accountability partner and share, here are my 4 or 5 top leadership characteristics I'm working on this year. Would you be my accountability partner in that? So once a week, check in to see what I'm doing and make sure I have plans on how these things are going to be implemented in my life and have an accountability partner. You could find good books or tapes that support you in these leadership characteristics, and you can do that by asking friends, fellow associates, upline, crossline, or go to Google and look at those look at the books and tapes that Google has posted for those. So that's another way. And then the other thing you can do is just ask your upline or crossline for additional ideas. They may have books or ideas already on how you can implement those or be accountability partner or something in that regard. But there are plenty of means for you to get support because be in community around this. Too many of us, and I speak for myself, notice the us, too many of us want to be little single soldiers out there all by ourselves conquering all this on our own when there are many people. And that's one of the beauties of network marketing. I just love this business because if you ever think, you go, well, I don't have anyone who could support me, and you go, why? Look upline, 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 upline. Every single person that's upline from you has a reason to want you to be the best you can be in this business. They have an immediate financial reason, if nothing else. For me, my business, I look at my people and my business and my family. I want all of them to succeed. I mean, I could have retired 10 years ago. And there are many Manitech associates who kind of walked away around 2007, 2008 when we had a little blip with the Texas AG, and they're still collecting checks. But I'm in this business not because of Mary Jo. I have goals, of course, and directions for myself. But I want my family to get where I am. Does that make sense? So I have a goal, and that's why I pour in so much and travel so much and help so many people, because I would love to have 100 presidentials in my organization. Nothing would make me happier. And it's not because of the check it would trigger for me. It's because of the checks it would trigger for those 100 people. Leadership is crucial. Desiring to be better is crucial. Setting an example for the people underneath you is crucial. All of those things are incredibly critical. So look for people above you to support you in this too, because they have a vested interest in making you or helping you become successful. No one can make you successful. That's a choice you make for yourself. So everybody got it? So that's, we talked, covered character list. We talked about stream of consciousness, writing, what I want my life to be, and having a blast doing that. The to-be list, because beingness, it comes first. So many of you want to go out there and just do. I'm just going to talk and sign up to 100 people next month, blah, 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 blah. When you leave out the beingness, then you go to do, you'll have, and you'll lose. That's why so many people work really, really hard and they gain a lot and then they lose it all, because they forgot the core. The first step in all of this is your beingness. And you got to get that down. So the to-be list is great. The leadership characteristics is great. What is it that you want to be? What are you choosing? How are you growing into being a person? And then the next step we talked about last week was your vision statement, right? Your vision statement. What is your why? We talked about, you know, have you read Start With Why by Simon Sinek? Has that been done? Have you gotten through that yet? Definitely spend some time with it. It's a fascinating book. It takes, I've had people in my organization, it took them 2 months to read the book. It's okay. You got a lot of time over Christmas, probably a lot of free time, holiday time, curl up under a blanket watching the Christmas lights and just dig in and read that book. Somebody asked me to do a book review on it on my Monday call. Probably that will happen in January, but that does not mean that you shouldn't read the book. It's a great book, and there's so much in it that there's no way I can put it all on sheets of paper for a Monday call. So terrific, terrific book. And understanding it is awesome as well. It helps me when I meet with people at corporate. You know, they start talking about doing things. And I said, but what's the why behind it? It's really fun because it changes the conversation. It changes the conversation. So because that's what distinguishes companies like Apple and other companies, and it distinguishes you. You got to get clarity. And that why is so important because, you know, clarity is crucial in our world, and I think we live a life without clarity. I see it happen every day. I see people walk around in dizziness when you ask them what they want for their life, and they can't answer. We're so unclear today. I don't know what's triggered us to be this mush out there, but the world is kind of mushy. Did you ever notice that? People jump around from idea to idea. They jump off. They jump on somebody's bandwagon, then they get on the next bandwagon. It's like, yeah, I think maybe this massive information flow has caused people to lose clarity because we just kept bombarded by millions of bits of data every day. And so where's our chance to grapple with clarity? We get on Facebook and 3 hours later we go, uh-oh, there goes 3 hours of my day, right? Can't you get lost on Facebook? I don't, because I think I get on it once a month. Lydia's trying to build that into 2015, that Mary Jo's got a 30-minute on Facebook every day. We'll see if that happens, but that's our commitment, and I'm not questioning it. I'm committed to it, but that's part of, you know, our activities that we looked at changing. But the idea is getting clarity. Clarity comes from what? How do we, it's an unfettered, I'm giving you the definition Tony Jerry gives because he has that great book, you know, what is it, Clarity, Focus, Execution. It's just a great book. If you don't have it, if you haven't read it, get it and read it. Manitech gave it to all associates 1 year at Manifest, and we had Tony as part of our program, who, by the way, took half of his compensation in stock options. How do you think that's paid out for him when he got them when the stock was trading at about 3? You think he did okay on that one? Where's the stock? 30 now, 10 times. Yeah, I don't know if he held on to all of them, but pretty phenomenal return. Probably the best deal he ever gotten doing any kind of strategic planning with people. But he really helped this company a lot, and he started with, you know, he talked about clarity, and he defines it as having an unfettered view of your vision, which is what you want and why you want it, fed by an understanding of its purpose and value. Isn't that great? Unfettered view of your vision. So if you can't articulate your vision, if you don't have clarity around your vision, if you don't, then what happens to you, and you find this in Manatech, you find that when you go out, as a clarity for you as a leader, but more importantly too is the clarity you want to help your people you sign up develop. I don't want to work with somebody in my organization unless they're really clear on why they're involved. What's your vision for this business, and why are you involved in it? I want those two things really clear, because what happens is if I don't have that clarity, if I don't have that information from them, the clarity for them, what happens is I find myself constantly pushing on them, push to hit their goals, meet their plans, all that stuff. When they have their vision clear and their why very clear, now that vision pulls them forward. And Mary Jo just has to, all I'm doing is I'm doing three-way calls. I'm showing up at their homes to do meetings for them that they're scheduling. It's the excitement of this business. That you have people that are internally driven because their why and their vision is so big. I had a gal in my organization the other day tell me she wants to be presidential by manifest. I said, you have 3 months to get there. And she just started. But we're putting it in a plan, and we're going to, you know, I'm building into her that, hey, this is our plan. When you struggle and you don't get there the first week or two, we can revamp it. But know that you know that there is a plan to get to any level in any period of time. You just have to do it. You have to be willing to do it, right? Because it is about connecting with people. This is a numbers business. It's about contacting people. And that's not a negative thing to say. It's the reality of our world that only so many people, out of 100, you're going to have the possibility of maybe 25% that'll even consider your opportunity. So that means every four people I connect with and share this with, I should expect that three of the four will not jump on board with me. And that's a correct expectation to have. And if you're really good, you'll get one of the four. If you're just average in this business, it might be one out of 10, because there's always the preconceptions or people out there that are absolutely not looking. They never want to do it. It's like my husband never would even consider doing this kind of business because it's not a real job. You get it? I mean, there's a staunch group of our population like that. But today, direct sales is getting more and more, newspaper, it's getting publicity everywhere, it's growing by leaps and bounds, twice as fast as retail last year, so people are starting to look at it as a real valid alternative to the lack of security we find in the job marketplace today. But anyway, but going back to this, so we want vision and clarity so that we can have the people pulled forward, because when you look at yourself as a leader trying to inspire people to move forward, do I want to feel like I need to be present every day of their lives, every week I need coaching calls, every month I need this, because I'm the only thing that helps pull them along? Is that what, that now the business becomes all about you? You don't want it all about you. You want it to be all about 100 phone calls a day you're getting from people in the field because they're so excited about their business, they can't wait to get to their, you know, their leadership levels, and they can't get enough of you. Now their own whys and their vision are pulling them instead of you pushing them every day of your life. And the frustration is far less, trust me, than if you constantly feel like you're pushing people just to do some of the basic things that they already know how to do, but there's something stopping them. And it's because they don't have clarity. They don't have clarity around the statement. When you lack clarity, really clear to understand this, and oh, this is fun. When you lack clarity, a lot of things happen. People don't believe they can do what they have to do. Do you follow me? So some of your people that aren't believing are just lacking clarity. people use planning to avoid taking action. Did you ever have anyone like that in your downline who just incessantly wanted to plan but never took action? That's a lack of clarity. People quit or they give up in the face of adversity. If you don't have clarity of your vision, you're going to quit at any sign of adversity. You'll have no resiliency, no perseverance. Confusion is a form of resistance. They'll stay in a state of confusion. Everything is confusing to them. You'll tell them to do, and they'll go, well, I don't really understand. I don't really, that's a lack of clarity on their vision. And ambiguity will be all over you. You'll communicate it. You are ambiguous in your communication, in your presence, and the world will reflect that back to you. I read a cute article the other day on this whole issue about clarity versus ambiguity, and I wanted to share a little bit briefly with you. And it's a story about a woman that was, you'll relate to it. In fact, a lot of you can probably relate to this about coming to a manifest or something. There was a woman that wanted to speak at a conference that she had attended in the past. Well, she didn't get a speaking proposal, but they offered her 50% discount off admittance, and she decided not to go because maybe she couldn't afford the expense. She wasn't sure. A week and a half before the conference, she received an offer to attend for free. But again, she was ambivalent about going. She was concerned about the hotel and airfare expense and the time spent away from her business. She wanted to attend but didn't think she could. And should she go or not go? How many days should she attend? Or how should she travel? She was going through all this, all this ambiguity. She knew that if she went, she could have some good networking experience and possibly get some good business out of the trip. She knew there were a couple people specifically that she wanted to talk to about speaking engagements once she got there. But she wasn't sure about, can I spend the time and the money? And after much deliberation, she finally decided to attend and to drive a day before the conference started. And then she found a better rate. She searched around, found a hotel room, better rate, and she booked that without much hesitation. But she hemmed and hawed over the airfare for a few more days. And finally, she decided to cash in miles and booked her ticket, but not without quite a bit of stress over the flying times, right? What time? Because she got a discount, she had to fly crazy times. So how do you think her lack of clarity or ambivalence and ambiguity manifested itself? On the way to the conference, her flight was delayed by 5 hours. Not only that, the plane parked at the wrong terminal, which meant that after she walked to the wrong baggage claim, she had to ride a shuttle to a different terminal. When she found the correct baggage claim, she discovered her luggage had stayed at the point of departure and wouldn't be delivered till the next evening. That meant she wouldn't have her clothes, books, makeup, or anything for the conference and to speak to the speaker she wanted. On the trip back, she arrived at the airport to discover she was no longer in the computer system because the delay on the outgoing flight and flight changes, her ticket home was automatically canceled. But no one ever told her that. Instead, she had to wait in line for 35 minutes only to be told by an airline representative who never bothered even to look at the computer for the ticket record that she was at the wrong airline. They sent her to a different terminal. She missed her flight. She had to go back to the first terminal, rebook her flight. By the time she arrived back home, she had again been delayed for over 5 hours, not to mention the stress and aggravation she experienced. Why do you think all that happened to her? Because she lacked clarity about her travel plans from the very get-go. Are you guys getting this? We create in our own lives all of this havoc because of our own ambiguity and lack of clarity. I just thought it was a great story to share with you. So you can see where that's playing out in your life, can't you? Can you guys think about things that just got all messed up and you go back, wow, where did I start on that path to see all that happen? So get ambiguity out of your life. Have clarity, choose it. Did you guys do the changes in 2015 compared to 2014? Lydia and I, as I told you earlier, we did that chart yesterday. We spent about 2.5 hours on it, and it's massive, and she's typing it up as we speak. And it's a blast because it really gave us clarity on little, tweaking things that we're doing, not doing, how to do them better. It just was awesome. And I want you guys to do it. And, some of you go, well, what do you mean by activities? Well, things that you're doing, like I do weekly coaching calls, team calls, mana mail, tech calls, travel, prospecting, my own prospecting, social media, follow-up systems, the specific areas I travel to, my Monday calls, you know, so there's just massive things that are lit, TOMS, all these things that are listed on my schedule, on my activities of 2014, and then how I propose them to look for 2015. And there wasn't one that we didn't tweak in some way, shape, or form to make it better, enhance it. So I'm going to, and some of them we said, hey, this doesn't work anymore, let's move this out. Or how do we want to work with this group of people? This is how we're going to change this year. So it's just really great in moving yourself forward. So definitely do that and answer the 7 steps that can change your life as well. Those are important things to look at to just really acknowledge where you are, where you're headed. The practical effect of clarity and performance, we just talked about that too. People have to believe in what they're doing. They must be committed to achievement. They must be committed to achievement. Right away that tells you, reading that language, am I committed to achievement? Get clarity for yourself. Are you really committed to Manatech, or are you just playing at it? And this is a social, I mean, you can do Manatech socially. You can choose that. But then don't ever be discouraged by losing auto orders and not making very much income and because you're choosing this as a social club instead of to create results in your life. Don't fool yourself. Be clear. Is this a social club for you? Or is this a serious business opportunity for you? You be clear, and then your clarity will help you create results. So be committed to the achievement. There has to be a certain amount of mental toughness and resilience to persevere through difficulties and roadblocks, and we only can do that if we're clear on what we want. Lack of clarity will cause disasters. A certain amount of legitimate excitement never hurts either, and by George, I got plenty of that. So true clarity contributes to all these qualities, and that with them comes power, and the power is to produce the results you're choosing. So be clear. Okay, so all of that kind of covers what we talked about last week. If you haven't done the work yet, go back and do it. It's never too late. I tell people to get it done ASAP. Don't walk into 2015 without this foundational work done. It's powerful. It's impactful. It can change your life. And you know what we say, you know, if you keep doing what you've always been doing, you're going to keep creating the same results because the definition of insanity is to think that things will be different if you keep doing the same things. So start making moves in a direction to be more efficient, more effective, more concentrated in your efforts in the areas that create results. Next, we're going to set goals. Woohoo! We finally got to the goal setting part, which is absolutely crucial. Every year you ought to set goals. I set goals every year. And do I always make 100% of my goals? Absolutely not. In fact, my goals are out there as this is where I definitely am committed to getting by the end of the year. And if I miss them, I don't beat up on myself. I don't get down on myself. I just say, you know what? Because I had that goal, look at where I got. Look at what I achieved because that goal was out there for me. So each and every one of us needs to have a target. A target. Where are we going? What is that target for us, right? All goals need to be smart. They need to be specific. They need to be measurable, achievable, risky, and timely. And we all can understand what those words mean for us. They're critical to understand. Specific is it's got to be something that's clear. It's got to be something that's definable, right? So you go, some people go, I want to have a, I think this is one I use frequently in describing this characteristic. I want to be successful in Manatech. Well, what is that specific? No, because the word successful is defined by people in different ways. So you want to say, be specific about it. What is it you specifically want? What would be successful to you? And then you redefine it in terms of how much income or how many people, because I don't know what's, you want to be successful in Manatech, could mean for you that you're helping 1,000 children every month. You're helping 100 children every month receive through the M5M program. You're helping whatever that goal is. It could be about money. It could be about how leadership level. It could be whatever it is, but be specific on that. Another one that people use is, I want to have a better marriage. I go, great. Is that specific? Well, it's specific, but that you want a better marriage, but it's not really specific enough to say, what creates a better marriage. You got to get to the, you know, a lot of people want better marriages, but they haven't bothered to understand what it takes to have a better marriage. And those who've heard me speak before know that I'll tell you the same. Or if you've read any books about marriages or any things about how do I have better relationships with people, what's the number one thing that creates a better relationship with somebody? Giving them more of your time. T-I-M-E. So maybe your specific goal for this year, if you want to have a better marriage, is I commit to one date night a week, at least 3 hours with my spouse alone, doing something we like together. Ta-da! I guarantee you, you'll have a better marriage. I can guarantee it. Here's another guarantee. You want to have a better marriage? Then you commit to kissing your spouse goodbye every time either one of you leaves the house and goes somewhere without each other and telling the person how much you love them. If you do that and that becomes a habit for you, you'll have a better marriage. And you go, well, how does that make a better marriage? Because you're emphasizing the importance of that person in your life and the fact that you love them. And that psychologically has an impact on your relationship with that person, of course. So there are all sorts of techniques to use here. And trust me, I know a lot of those because my husband and I are such opposites. So sometimes I need to do some of these techniques because I get frustrated with him. And right away it softens my heart towards him and I'm back into where I need to be in that relationship. Because I can easily drift when somebody's so opposite to you, you can easily drift away from it and say, well, this is a nice cohabitation experiment we're having here. That's not what was intended in this marriage and in the commitment I made 23 years ago. So it's going back to saying, how do I have a better marriage? Take certain specific actions that help you show that love or regrow that feeling of love, because love is not about a feeling. We can feel love, but love is commitment, sacrifice, all these things. That's what love is, right? So specific, measurable, enough on marriage counseling. Measurable, make it measurable. So you want to make sure that measurable. So if you're going to say, I want to make more money in Manifest, what's measurable about that? Not. You got to put a specific, you know, dollar figure so that we can measure it. I'm going to be regional director in 2015. Great. When? By what date? Notice, it's not just about money. It's about dates and timings and specifics. Get it to be measurable so that at the end of the period of time or the whatever deadline you put on it, you can measure your success. It becomes something that's measurable. How much? Measure it. All right? Or you're going to be an achiever, right? Well, by what date are you going to be an achiever? And we understand what achievers are. All you got to do is look at the achiever counseling sheet, and there are like five or six characteristics there about how your building structure and what activities you're participating in to make you an achiever. So you build that in, and you go, okay, I'm going to be an achiever by this date. Great. So what am I going to do to get there? But you have to have the specific date. Make it measurable. So because you can't hold yourself accountable to a goal or understand whether you made it or not unless it's measurable. Achievable is very important too. So when you're working with people like my friend who wants to be presidential in 3 months, did I allow her to buy into that? Yes. If she really wants to do that, is it possible to do that? Yes. Is she willing to show the plan 5 times a day, every single day? No. So right away, we're going to back off presidential because that's going to be very difficult for her to achieve because she's not willing to do the activities that are required to make that happen, right? And that's the difference. So you got to start saying, hey, this is going to decide what activities you're willing to do, and then we'll look at what that's going to create for you or whether you're willing to do more activities because you're more anxious to get to a place. But make something that's achievable for people because you don't want to tell somebody some wacko goal that they don't achieve, because I've had that experience with my own upline. It gave me a goal that I wasn't committed to, and guess what? I got depressed and anxious when it didn't happen. So achievable, risky, push yourself. You want to push yourself beyond what you would normally do. Timely, so you, again, regional director in the first 12 months is not risky. And timely, you want to either have a start date or a completion date on every single one of your goals. It's got to have a timing element to it. It has to have a timing element. Otherwise, it goes forever. It loses specificity when it has no timing. Do you get it? because you're not specific about when it's going to be accomplished. So you want to make sure it's a type of specificity that you don't want to avoid. Six categories. I tell everybody to do six categories. Up to you what you want to do. That's my position because I like balanced people in my organization. I want people to be committed to their families, their intellectual growth, their physical status, their spiritual and emotional side, as well as social side. I want all of that to be satisfied in a person so I have a balanced human being. But, of course, we definitely want to put in here professional and financial are two of the areas that Manatech covers. So you'll have ideas in both of those around Manatech, and you want to make sure you set those goals. And the other aspect of goal setting is this. When you set your goals, after you get done setting your goals, and you have goal setting sheets at the end of the outline, you want to go back and say, what stopped me this past year from accomplishing the goals I set? So that you have clarity, again, notice the word clarity pops up one more time, around what's holding you back. Because if you don't conquer that, you know, that tent pole, that elephant in the room, what's going to happen in 2015? You're going to create the same lack of results that you did in 2014. So you want to overcome what the blockage is. And the best way to sometimes find that blockage is look at what held you back from reaching the goals you set last year. So write those down. Review of your goals. I just gave you a bunch of ideas. Always make sure they start with I, this, that. Don't just put a statement down. Take personal responsibility for it. Always make sure they're in present tense. Not, I will make $4,000 per month in Manatech by September 2015. Wrong. Because, see, it's in the future. Anytime you put it in your brain, it's in the future. Then everything else that goes with it goes out in the future. And you don't start working on it till when? August. Because now it's next month. So you say, I make $4,000. It's present tense. I make $4,000 per month in Manatech by September. You get it? I make. So you're telling yourself in present tense. Use live action verbs or feeling verbs, not passive. Live action subject is doing the acting. Right? The subject is doing the acting. Not the object, but the subject is doing the acting. Live action, not passive. Be brief in your goals. So don't make them so lengthy that it takes you 15 minutes to finish reading it. It's got to be concise, brief. Be positive, not negative. In other words, don't tell yourself to lose 20 pounds by March 31st. Why? Because we have a psychological thing in our head that says anything we lose, we want to find. And maybe that's the reason why everybody that loses weight always goes back and gains it again, because they talk about losing weight. Talk about hitting a certain scale weight. That's what you want to do. And again, make sure that they're all SMART. We want to make sure all of our goals are SMART, and we do that by going through the structure. Share your goals with the support team. Write them down on cards and submit them out. Know the results of your goals. I gave you a sheet on the back of the outline. Say, what if I don't accomplish my goals? What does that mean for me? So half the price that you're paying if you don't hit your goals. And that's big for me. My exercise around that really hits home for me. It touches my heart in a serious way, so it gives me even more gumption to make sure I move forward. So that's an important thing for you to do, the consequences of the goals if you don't meet them. Make sure you're connected with your belief system, because optimism, responsibility, goal setting, all of that is crucial in your life. And if you don't believe it, if you don't believe in your goals, then there's a disconnect, so they won't mean anything to you. So really make that connection with your belief system. Build that. And if that means that you work on belief systems, you work on magical believing, and you make the power of that, and you work on yourself to understand the importance of that and the importance of you starting to believe in you, then that's some self-development work you want to put some time and energy in beingness. Remember, be, do, have. Start with that, believing in you. Then structural tension. Now, every year I do this structural tension exercise because I believe it's so critically important, and it has to do with a book I read years ago called Life is Art, and it's just an awesome book that talks about structural tension being the most powerful process in our creative process, the most powerful structure in our creative process, because it allows us to envision the result and puts us in a position so that we can feel it. Because tension, it's like, this is how they describe it. If you take a rubber band and you stretch it between two fingers, you're not creating tension there. Yes. Is it good or bad tension? Don't make a value judgment about it. There's no value judgment being made. It's just, you know that when you stretch a rubber band between two fingers, what is eventually going to happen? There's going to be resolution. either one finger is going to, the right finger is going to go towards the left finger, or the left finger is going to go towards the right finger. That's exactly the same kind of power and energy that exists when you have a goal and set a goal, write it on a piece of paper, and down beneath you put, where's my reality today? So from reality to the goal, there's a tension that exists. And you're creating that tension by putting your foot in the sand. Now, a lot of people are good at writing goals. They become good at saying, this is where I want to go. What their problem is they fail to grab onto their reality. And they tell me, Mary Jo, it's so depressing, I don't want to face it. So they tend to misrepresent it. Don't do that. Remember, where you are today has no reflection on where you're going to be tomorrow. What your past is, nothing you can do about it. So let it go. You are where you are. Grab onto it. Right? And grab onto it with joy, because you know what? What are you going to create in the next 12 months? That's the direction. Then you create the tension between the two places. If you're sad and you're disheartened by where you are today, the problem with some of that is it's going to cause you depression and you're not going to move. You don't want to be stuck. So don't be right and wrong about where you are today in your reality. Just do it and be honest with it. And knowing where you're going, that brings you the joy. That's the direction you're going. So create that structural tension, and you can do that. You can use that form I attached with each and every one of your goals, and then put together what actions you're going to be taking to reach that goal. That's part of your planning that goes into it, which is planning is critical. Failure to plan is plan to fail. So you must put in place the plan. What action steps are going to get me there? What am I going to be doing? And that also gets to do with your activity chart. What are you going to be doing on a daily basis? What's going to be different from last year? So really going through this experience is really critical for all of us. You can read through the rest of that I put in there about that. If you'd like to read the book, it's called Life is Art, and you can get that on the internet. You could probably get an e-book of it as well. It's just terrific to help you to build that structural tension that raises your level of discernment, objectivity, and awareness around what needs to happen. Because people who lie to themselves about their reality or misrepresent it, what are they just thrown to the wind? Clarity. You just threw it to the wind. And what's so critical? Clarity. Start with clarity. And that's true about goal setting and reaching goals as well. And then all of a sudden you have new energy to get you to create them. So people, that's it for today. Work on all of those things. If you didn't do the first week's work, get that done. Lay the foundation with your vision and your values and your vision. And then, this week is about the goal setting, right? We're setting goals around all those different categories, writing those down, and then doing the structural tension exercise, which includes putting together step-by-step plans on what's going to get you there. What's going to get you there? What steps are going to get you to reaching those goals and having clarity around that? All right? All right, everybody. Next week, we definitely will have a call on the 29th. So be ready for that. We're going to talk about some things, actions that are going to help you get to your goals. So we're going to cover a number of things, steps to make your goals work. We're going to talk about the 7 decisions that Andy Andrews talks about, the 7 mindsets to live your ultimate life, and maybe the 7 habits of Stephen Covey. 777, how do we put that all together to create one document that moves us forward? Because what's most important after we get all this foundation, because that's all critically important first, right? But once you get all this work done that we've done in the last 2 days or 2 weeks, is the idea of laying the foundation, setting the goals. You know, now we have the rocks of our foundation. We're building that house on that foundation, and now we've got to know moving forward. What are the activities? What direction? What's our beingness, our direction in going forward to make sure those goals come true? Okay, everybody, love you all. And again, one more time, Merry, Merry Christmas to all of you. Have a great celebration with friends and family, and talk to you next Monday. Bye-bye, everybody.